Blessed be the name of the Lord. So going on today's message, it's entitled, Yeshua's Opinion on the Greatest Mitzvah, that is commandment. You know what's amazing? Heidi and David and Martin and I didn't get together this week and plan out some of the music, all right, that would fit with this message. But as you hear this message and you think about what we sang about, you'll hear the scriptures that have the backing of what we sang about today. So now let us turn to Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, 34. But when the Perishim, who are the Pharisees, learned that Yeshua had silenced the Zedokim, who are the Sadducees, they got together. How can we make this contemporary? Just think about this. Front page news. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party are now one. All right? That what is the significance here. Mortal enemies that have been doing what here in America? Fighting each other for hundreds of years, all right? That have been opposed to each other. And they're coming together because what? They have a common enemy. And I'm not putting Donald Trump in the place of Yeshua. Please understand that. I'm putting Yeshua who he is because Yeshua is speaking to us today, not Donald Trump. So let's go on with the message, okay? And one of them, who was a Torah expert, asked a She'ilah to trap Yeshua. Rabbi, which of the mitzvot in the Torah is the most important? Yeshua told him, you are to love Adonai, your God, with all your heart, your soul, and with all your strength. Remember singing that today? Absolutely. Where's that taken from? Well, Matthew 22:34, Frank. No, it's taken from Devarim, which is Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 5. All right? So Yeshua goes on to say in verse 38, this is the greatest and most important mitzvah. What is it? To love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Verse 39, and the second is similar to it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. Is that from Matthew 22:39? No, it's actually from the book of Vayikra, Leviticus 19:18. Continue in Matthew 22:40. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent upon these two mitzvot. And what is a mitzvot? It is simply instruction. How we're to walk in perfect relationship with Abba, Father God, and all our brothers and sisters who happen to be human beings on the face of this earth. Okay? So continuing here. What is a She'ilah? And I've been sharing this through the last number of messages. Is a word from Hebrew which simply means a question. But among Jews speaking English, it means a question about Torah, usually posed to someone expected to be able to give an authoritative answer. And so this Torah expert was now asking this rabbi from Galilee, who he did not respect, would even have the intelligence to give him an answer because he was simply trying to trap him. Because sometimes we forget, Yeshua has not left the court, the courts of the temple here. And there are thousands of people that are listening to what he has to say. So continuing here, Matthew 22:36, a mitzvah literally means a commandment. But here better understood is central principles. Matthew 22:37 from a parallel passage at Mark 12:28-40. Four, one learns that Yeshua quoted also Devarim, Deuteronomy 6:4, the central affirmation of Judaism, which is, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay? And we'll get into that a little bit later here. All right? Because as I said earlier, Matthew is speaking to whom? His Jewish brethren. All right? But Mark is speaking to the Gentiles. Okay? And so Matthew left out certain things as he's being led by the Spirit, because you know what? It was a family conversation, okay? That's why Mark had to give more information and give definition to all these things, okay? And so Matthew 22:37 is from Yeshua's quoting Devarim, Deuteronomy 6:4 through 9. And you know what? We did that today. Every time when we say the Ve'ahavta, okay? This is what it says in Devarim, which is Deuteronomy, chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, Adonai, our God, Adonai is one. Okay? Verse 5. You are to love Adonai with all your hearts, and all your being, and all your resources. These words which I'm ordering you today, does this sound familiar? The Ve'ahavta, okay? These words which I'm ordering you today shall be on your hearts. You shall teach them carefully to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit in your home, and when you're traveling on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. And you are to tie them upon your hands as a sign, and put them as a front headband around your forehead, and write them on the doorposts, in the door frames of your house, and upon your gates, okay? So when Yeshua is sharing these things with them, it's just speaking rightly, directly to their hearts, okay? So Matthew 22:39, Yeshua now is quoting in detail from Vayikra, which is Leviticus 19:18. And this is what it says. Do not take vengeance or bear grudge against anyone of your people. Rather, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm Adonai. See how that fits together here? And also going on now to Mark. And Mark's going to give us more understanding. In Mark chapter 12, 28 through 34, it says this. One of the Torah teachers came up and heard them. And he engaged in this discussion. Seeing that Yeshua answered them well, he asked Yeshua, which is the most important mitzvah of them all? Yeshua answered, the most important mitzvah is Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you're to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your understanding, and with all your strength. Okay? So continuing here, and the second verse is this, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other mitzvah greater than these. So the Torah teacher said to Yeshua, well, Rabbi, you speak the truth when you say that he is one, that there is no other besides him, and that loving him with all your heart and understanding and strength and loving your neighbor as oneself mean more than all the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. And when Yeshua saw that he responded sensibly, Yeshua said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of Abba, Father God. For after that, no one dared to put Yeshua to him another She'ilah. All right? And you know what? There's even more. Because you know when the Spirit of the living God wants one of the apostles to write down what took place? We've heard from Matthew, we've heard from Mark, and now let's hear the testimony of Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. An expert in the Torah stood up to try to trap Yeshua by asking, Rabbi, what should I do to obtain eternal life? But Yeshua said to him, it is written in the Torah, how do you read it? See, he's saying to him, you know the answer, but I need to pull the answer out of you. Why? Because he knew that this young man had hidden the Torah in his heart for many years, all right? And so he answered, this is the man, you are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your understanding. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the right answer, Yeshua said. Do this and you will have eternal life. But he, wanting to justify him, said to Yeshua, but who is my neighbor? All right. Taking up the question, Yeshua said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him naked and they beat him up. And then they went off, leaving him half dead. By coincidence, a Cohen was going down the road. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. He didn't want to get involved. All right. And you know what's in the scripture that you don't see? But that man that was beaten, he was wearing what? Tzitzit. Because every Jewish male was commanded by God to wear tzitzit. And not just on Shabbat, but every day. And so when that Cohen saw that man naked, all right, he had tzitzit nearby, okay? Because those that robbed him didn't want anything to do with the tzitzit, okay? So continuing here. Likewise, a Levi who reached the place saw him and also passed on the other side. He didn't want to get involved, okay? And you know what? Most likely, Yeshua's not given this detail, but that was probably the Levite that was assigned to that man's village, okay? He probably recognized that man, okay? Because you know what? God allowed, he allowed the Levites to live among the people in different villages, okay, so that when they brought their offerings, they would do it properly as they sacrificed them unto the Lord. So you don't get all this detail from reading certain Bibles, all right? But as you study the history and the culture of the people, line upon line, precept upon precept, it starts making sense, okay? So continuing here. But a man from Sharon, which is Samaria, who was traveling along came upon this man, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. And for most of us reading the scripture many, many times, again, we just think, well, this is a nice guy. What were Samaritans? They were people that one of the other kingdoms, the kings, had brought in from another foreign land that they conquered, and they brought them into Israel so they would intermarry with the Israelis, all right? And they would then end Judaism, okay? And so when the people came back from the Babylonian captivity, there were all these Samaritans there, all right? And if you study about the prophets there, because Messiah had not been born yet, all right, you'll read about these things and that there was a division between the Samaritans and those who were the Jewish people. And so there was animosity here, okay? And so with that, that would be just like us, Yeshua using today, if he's standing before us and speaking, a mortal enemy of America would be the good guy, all right? Because you know what's happening right now in the heart and mind of this young Torah teacher? He's being convicted because he says, well, who's my neighbor, all right? But but when he hears that a Cohen and a Levite, a priest, has walked by and saw a man who is a fellow Jew and just walk on the other side and not even show any compassion whatsoever. So who is the hero in this story? But the enemy, who is whom? A Samaritan. So let us continue here. So he went up to him, and he put oil and wine on his wounds, and he bandaged them. Then he set him on his donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 days' wages and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him. If you spend more than this, I will pay you when I return. Of these three, which one seems to you to have become the neighbor of the man who fell among the robbers? He answered, the one who showed mercy toward him. Yeshua said to him, go and do as he did. The walls of separation, the walls of prejudice were being brought down before that man's eyes. So continuing here. This exchange between Yeshua and the Torah expert took place during a busy and intense last week before the crucifixion. Various groups of enemies gathered themselves against Yeshua, coming to him with their she'ilahs, their challenges, and their trick questions. Yeshua perfectly responded to each of these. Yeshua's purpose remained to prepare a people for the kingdom of Abba, Father God, by exposing sin and urging repentance and inviting all to obey Abba, Father God. This situation, the question was, which is the greatest commandment in the Torah? This reflects the understanding that Jews were to keep the Torah to Abba, Father God, especially the Torah of Moshe. Adonai had given the nation of Israel a comprehensive body of law to govern them, not only spiritually, but for their civil existence as a nation in Adonai's overall plan. In giving that Torah, Adonai had said in Shemot Exodus 19, 3 through 6, "And Moshe went up to God, and Adonai called him from the mountain. Here is what you are to say to the household of Yaakov, to tell the people of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, if you pay attention careful to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my treasure from among all the peoples of the earth, for all the earth is mine. And you will be a kingdom of Kohanim, which means priests for me, a nation set apart, and that is holy." So based on the Torah gave to Israel, the question posed by the Torah expert is, Rabbi, which of the mitzvot, which of the instructions in the Torah is the most important? And Yeshua responded, not just picking out two commandments at random. Yeshua cited one mitzvot, one commandment that pertains directly to everyone in their relationship with God, whether if you be from the house of Israel or not. You are to love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Yeshua said this is the greatest and most important mitzvah or instruction. This statement by Yeshua identifies a priority that deserves our recognition even today. First, get in right relationship with Abba, Father God. Now, we might miss the totality of this, but we should not. And that is this: love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Why do you keep repeating that, Rabbi? Because that is what God desires in our love relationship with Him. If He's not your Father, then you will not express yourself and pouring yourself out in love towards Him as He's been doing to you from the time that you met Him and received Him as your Father. This is a total person loving a total God. Adonai did not hold anything back in giving to us. We shouldn't hold back anything in giving to Abba, Father God. It has been said that Abba, Father God gives wholeheartedly love, must not be answered in a half-hearted manner. Have you ever been guilty of that? Guilty as charged, I confess before you. Amen. It has been said, the love of Adonai God is the first of all the mitzvot, instruction, or commandments. We must not be content with our spiritual state, content with it, unless we are sincerely and earnestly striving to obey it. Now, only you can convict your heart of how you've done, and have you dealt with your love affair with Abba, Father God. The measure of that love is the measure of the whole heart, soul, and mind and strength. The heart is the center of our being. The soul, the seat of our affections, our desires. The mind, the home of the thought and reason. The strength, the life breath of what we live here on earth. The love of Abba, Father God, must dwell in all parts of our complex nature, filling the whole person with its gracious, sanctifying influence. We must try to love Him with our whole strength of all our highest faculties. Such love, the first fruits of a messianic believer, is also the sweetest and the holiest of all joy. There is no earthly joy like that which flows from a love of those dearest to us. Can you not agree on that? Absolutely. The love of Abba, Father God, is all forms of love beyond compassion, the highest, and so the joy that streams from that love is all the joys of the deepest and most of the blessed. It is the first taste of heaven, for the joy of heaven is to love Abba, Father God, perfectly, and to know and to feel the great love of Abba, Father God, right? Just as you receive it from him, you know what? He's desiring. His heart aches for us to express our love back to him. And we're to love him what? With all our heart, mind, soul, strength, all our resources. You know what? It all came from him anyway. Were you not created? Did he not breathe in your father, Adam's nostrils? And did he not reach in the side and remove the rib and create your mother, Hava, Eve? So we owe everything to him, all honor and glory and praise. 1 Peter Kepha, he says these words, without seeing him, you love him. Without seeing him now, but trusting in him, you continue to be full of joy that is your gracious beyond all words. And verse 9 says, and you are receiving what your trust is aiming at, namely your deliverance. Deliverance from what? Our old carnal nature and sin. So continuing here. But here's another mitzvot, another command, Matthew 22:39. The second is similar to it in that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. This is like the first. It is enjoined with all biblical love expresses in attitude and action. The Kohen and the Levite did not show compassion or action to their fellow Jewish brother who was injured and near death's door. So continuing here. This is to be directed to your neighbor. This expression is not narrow, meaning just the people who live round about you or across the street, but a comprehension of all fellow human beings. Does that include Muslims, Rabbi? Absolutely. Does that include terrorists? Absolutely. It includes everyone created in the image and likeness of Abba, Father God, which you have been and are. Therefore, as an opportunity arises, let us do what is good to everyone, especially to the family of those who are trusting faithful. This means that once we are right with Abba, Father God, fellowship with Abba, Father God, and acceptance of his authority provides a way for us to serve others in the highest sense. Loving Abba, Father God first, once that is settled, because of that, we are equipped to invest ourselves. Did you hear that? Invest ourselves in the best service to others. Abba, Father God first, then others. We are destined for failure in our attempts to serve mankind, absent from faithfulness to Abba, Father God. 1 Yohanan 5:20. If anyone says, I love Abba, Father God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For if a person does not love his brother, whom he has seen, then he cannot love Abba, Father God, whom he has not seen. Yes, it is the command that we have from him. Whoever loves Abba, Father God, must also love his brothers too. Now I'm in closing. All Torah and the prophets are dependent upon these two mitzvot. That's Matthew 22:40. Everything Abba, Father God, obligated his people to do, as recorded in the Tanakh, as an extension of either loving Abba, Father God, or loving people. There are only two things that Abba, God, requires. First, to respond properly to him. Second, to respond properly to others. So we may ask, what is the self in this? Loving Abba, Father God, as you should, with all your heart, mind, soul, and resources. And this will generate a healthy self-concept. When that love of Abba, Father God prompts appropriate service to people, you will be loving your neighbor as yourself. Abba, Father God is God, and man is man. So it challenges us to love Abba, Father God, and to make it our highest priority. Why do you live? Why do you, the Lord has allowed you to continue on this earth? And that you may show him love and to love your neighbor as yourself. Continuing here. Out of this love of Abba, Father God, that must develop this healthy and active of loving people. Everything else in life relates to these two basic mitzvot or instructions. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and resources. And to simply love your neighbor as yourself. Shabbat Shalom.